My first guest of the afternoon is on the line. He is retired Colonel Dr. Eran Lehrman, and he is the Vice President of the Jerusalem Institute for Strategy and Security and former Deputy Director of the Israel National Security Council. Dr. Eran Lehrman, thank you for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thank you. Can you believe it? I was just talking about Itai Levy with my daughter, who adores him. Anyway, here we go.
What are the chances? That's funny.
What are the chances? Right.
Dr. Lehrman, let's talk about the returns of the body of Hadar Gordon. His body has been kept for 10 years in Gaza. And I'm just wondering, as a military man, what does the return of his remains mean to you personally and to the broader IDF in general?
Let me put it quite clearly for all of us in Israel, not just for soldiers. This was a huge relief in a sense. Of course, it's tragic the cycle ends with his, but we knew it was this return of a body to Israel, but we knew quite clearly that he was killed. By the way, during a breach of the ceasefire during operations in 2014 by Hamas, and he became a symbol. He and Oron Shaul, whose body was retrieved by military action, not by Hamas act of returning the bodies, a few months in January. And both of them were symbols. You could see the pictures all over the country. And it is a commitment of the IDF to its soldiers that dead or alive, they would be retrieved from the battlefield if killed or wounded. And the inability to fulfill that commitment for 11 years has been very painful. So we ask ourselves, of course, what has made Hamas relent now? And it is clearly a combination of three elements: the Israeli military pressure, which is quite significant, the blunt American warnings that the ceasefire will not hold unless Hamas fulfill their commitments entirely, and the fact that the mediators also put quite significant pressure on Hamas to comply with what they have committed to. And so it is a relief. We still have four bodies unaccounted for. One of a Thai worker who was murdered and his body taken, and three others. And we will keep on pressing, but I have to say there is really some doubt as to whether Hamas can account for all of the bodies. They've returned 24 now out of 28. This is more than what some people expected when the deal was struck in October. But still, it is a very significant act.
Dr. Lehrman, explain
and
to me why.
And we are getting closer and closer to phase two.
Why did it take 10 years for Hadar Gordon's body to be returned? I mean, if I think about it, during this 10-year period, there have been numerous clashes in Gaza, numerous ceasefire agreements. Why was there never an opportunity to ensure that his body was returned before then?
Well, first of all, we did not have the level of pressure that we can have now on Hamas, with 53% of the Gaza Strip in Israeli hands, which wasn't the case in any of the previous rounds. Or this wasn't a round. This was a full-scale war with all the implications. Secondly, our levers of influence over Gaza were much more limited. And the family felt, I have to say, that this was not a priority for decision makers in previous rounds. I can hardly argue with their feeling. But there were other things more urgent to take care of in the past. Now it has become a key element of the ceasefire arrangement, and therefore the pressure was at a very to retrieve his body was at a very different level.
In your opinion, and looking retrospectively, looking back, what do you think could have been done differently in order to bring him back sooner?
Frankly, I'm not sure. There were some people thought we should have laid siege to Gaza altogether to get him and Oroncho retreat. That was not an easy decision to make. After all, you know, there are 2 million people or more or so living there. And we saw the consequences for Israel in the last few months when we tightened somewhat the pressure. So and then they were very severe and far reaching. So it was a problem, clearly, what kind of leverage we can generate. There was always the option of releasing a large number of prisoners, but then again, there's a price to be paid for this, and we felt it quite keenly on the 7th of October when some of the people who were leading the actions, including Sinwar, are people who were released in return for Gilad Shalit, one soldier released alive. And so there were I think, legitimate question marks as to what our leverage could have been. But I can hardly, you know, fault the family for feeling that not enough was done in the intervening 11 years.
So that's interesting to me, because then one begins to wonder what kind of message does this whole process send to Israeli soldiers and their families about the IDF's commitment to never leave anyone behind. Do you think it's restored credibility in that belief, or do you think the time that has elapsed has done damage to that belief?
Well, let me put it like this. It is a principle, and it is a standing principle, and the IDF remains committed to it. But the circumstances in Gaza were particularly harrowing. I don't want to fault other nations, but I can think of a great ally of ours that has left more than, 2,500 MIAs in a theater of war where they fought for years, and they were never accounted for, if you know what I mean. So we still remain deeply, deeply committed organizationally at the level of national sentiment to this. Some would tell you that it makes us weak. I don't think so.
No, on the contrary, it could be argued that you were abiding by your social contract, that the mother who gives a child to the IDF knows by hook or by crook her son will come home.
Sorry, I could hardly hear you. Could you repeat the question?
No, it wasn't a question. It was a comment, and we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Dr. Eran Lerman, thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM.